Of course, everybody knew the answer was going to be realistic, except Tony. He didn't think anything was realistic except the blue ball that hung over his head. Now, that was there for a reason, I've been told, but nobody really explained exactly what it was for. He looked up at it, and he knew something was up because it was there, and it was there like 24 hours a day, but he was only there for about 8 hours a night. Well, he was getting a little suspicious, so he got himself a little bow, and he also got himself some kind of a little wheel-type thing, and he hooked it onto the string and around to that and wrapped that over there and tied that onto that. And he had it all set. It looked pretty nice, actually, if you wanted to take a picture of it, but a lot of people didn't want to take pictures of it. In fact, they didn't even want it in their house. And they told him right out. They said, "Tony, listen, I don't want any of those." And he said, "But they're cheap. I mean, they're practically nothing. You can have one." And he didn't want it any more than the man in the moon. But he had to look like he needed it and wanted it. So it was a downer, is what they call it. It's when it was like finally came to the realization that it was kind of a goofy idea. So he just put his arms to his side and he laid back and he put his head against the pillow as hard as he could. I mean, he pushed his head against that pillow. In fact, the doctors had to come in and remove some of the pillow from the back of his head. But that took only 20 minutes because they had tweezers that were specially equipped to pull out small pieces of fiber feathers and kind of some of that pillow material. So they did that, and when they were completely done, they looked him straight in the eye and said, "Okay, where are you?" Because he was nothing but one big eyeball. And he couldn't see him anywhere. All they saw was this one big eye. He could trick himself into converting himself into an eye, and he could trick the people around him to believe that they were seeing only his eye. Now tell me that wasn't a trick. But he did it. He turned himself into a one big eyeball and just laid there on the bed. People were walking around, scratching their head, wondering, well, how did that happen? How the heck did he manage to turn himself into an eyeball like that? And when they went one way, this way, they could see the eye turning and watching individuals. And as soon as he turned and looked at that person would start to shiver and shake. And then he'd swing around and look at me. And, of course, that made me feel like I had, like, ice packs on my head and chest. And I just was scared and shaking, and I didn't know what to do. Tony just sat there in bed. I mean, he just looked at anybody he wanted to. No eyebrow, no mouth, no ears, no chest, no toes. No legs, no knees, no throat. He was just one big eye, just looking at you. We think he was doing that on purpose. We think he was doing that in such a way that it would cause all of us to go bazonker. But we didn't pay attention to him anymore, because you know what we did? We grouped together. We joined forces. Each one of us stood around him, around the big eyeball, and we started to walk forward right to him. We started to walk toward. Then we saw him shiver. Now we notice he was starting to get really worried. And then, as soon as we all started to reach our hands in, he just flattened right out like a pancake. Flattened out like a pancake, and you could see the shape of a body starting to form. It was almost like a gingerbread man. He started to form the shape of a body and started to stretch out right under the covers and under the pillow, under the blankets, all right there. But he was still on top of the sheets. And he stretched out completely, and that started to inflate, getting thicker and thicker. And there he was. Within 6 minutes, he was fully developed into his old self again. "Tony, what are you doing messing around like this?" we said. And Tony just sat there looking at us with both eyes this time. And he looked at us, and he had a small grin on his face. But we all looked a little closer because we noticed something strange. And he had like bobby pins holding up his cheeks. So it would appear that he's smiling. Maybe he didn't want to smile. Could that be the reason why he put the bobby pins in there to hold his cheeks up? Maybe he didn't want to smile. We knew something was giving. We knew something was happening. We knew something was there. So I was going to be the brave one. I told everybody in kind of a mental telepathy sort of way. I was going to go in and pull out those bobby pins. Of course, Tony didn't hear me, because I wasn't directing my thoughts toward him. I was only directing my thoughts to those in the room, not to Tony. And when I reached over to pull out those bobby pins, instantly his hand came out up from under the covers and slapped my hand away. "Whoa," I said, "how can you do that so fast?" He says he was a boxer. He used to be a boxer 20 years ago. He was in the Golden Gloves, they're called. That was a little club that had a great ambition, and he was going to be the world-famous boxer, he said. That's how he was so fast. And I put my hand in there, whoosh, knocked it right out of the way. Just like an instant. That was fast. I said, you want to get back into the Golden Gloves, I said. You want to get back in there and prove to everybody that you could be the greatest fighter in the entire world. But he said, no, he says, he's had enough of that. A little bit of the soft brain issue, he said. Okay, I said, don't worry about it. Susie walked across the room, and then we asked her to walk across again. And then we told her, go back and do it again one more time. There she was, walked across the room. Pretty top she was wearing. Pink stripes, white stripes, and kind of a, I don't know if it was a flower or something hanging on her shoulder, but she walked by and there where it was. Johnny jumped up and took a picture of her on the third time around. I don't know if she liked that or not, because she reached into her pocket and pulled out one of those little containers, you know? They look like a perfume bottle. But it really wasn't. And she literally lunged over the bed and reached out and sprayed it right in his face. Needless to say, he covered his face up and walked off, saying some kind of thing under his breath. And he was trying to hold the screams back because it kind of hurt. I think it was mace, is what I think it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. Could have been. Possibly. Sounded like it could have been. But she had chains, too. She had big, big chains that she wrapped around her waist and carried those around, jingling and jangling those chains down and upstairs. We asked her why she did it. She didn't say anything. She just always kept quiet. It's like her mouth was sealed shut. Maybe it was. She didn't say anything. She never did actually talk. Did a lot of eye movement, a lot of hand gestures. And Tony, he just laid there staring at her. I think he was infatuated. She had hair that stuck straight up on one side, and the other side was just kind of laid back and kind of slick. I don't know if it was grease on her hair or not. I have no idea. But whatever it was, he was infatuated. I mean, he was really interested in her. She had one big foot, but we don't want to talk about that right now. And everybody in the room helped escort her out of the room. They escorted her right out of the room because she was causing a disturbance. We wanted to concentrate on Tony. He had something that we wanted to know. And that, of course, was where the money was. He knew where the money was, but he wouldn't tell us. He just laid there. He shook his head and went, no, I'm not telling you. We knew he would get it out of him. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Gary had the feathers. Susie had some rubber bands. I don't know what she was going to do with those. And Bob had some kind of a crank mechanism. But we were going to get the answer out of him in minutes. We knew it could be done. But Tony sat right up, like nothing was wrong, wheeled his legs across the side and laid over the side of the bed, and pushed himself forward, and he stood up, and he put his hands on his hips. He was a thin man. He wasn't very tall. He appeared taller in bed, actually. But when he stood up, he was kind of short. He was probably only about 5'6", about as tall as me. And he stood there, and he had his hands on his hips, and he started to push in on his hands, push in his hips. And he pushed him in so far, his hip into his stomach, pushed his hands into his stomach from the sides, and squeezed himself so that he was only about 3 inches around at the waist. Just pinched himself right in, squeezed himself right in. And you could see his face getting red. He wanted to yelp, but I don't think he wanted to be embarrassed, so he just tolerated it, and he just squeezed as hard as he could. And there he went. He stood right there, standing his ground. He said, okay, Tony, calm down, relax. Here, hold this. But he couldn't reach because he was squeezing his hips together. So a small guy came rolling in on a little one of those flatbed carts. He was using it as a kind of like a, I don't know what to call them, a scooter. But he was using it as a scooter. It came running through on a little four-wheel flatbed cart. And he scooted himself across the room. And Tony got wind of that. And he looked at it, stared at it. And he just let go of his hips and just started chasing that little guy on that doggone four-wheel cart right out of the room, right down the hallway. But he was fast. That little guy in the cart, he was fast. The only problem was the elevator door didn't open up. And Tony got a hold of him. And all we heard was just a little bit of yelling and noises and stuff like that. And I guess everything was okay because Tony came back by himself and he had a ripped out pocket. I am assuming everything went well. But we didn't hear the little guy there wheeling around anymore, so we assumed he was just calmed down. So we just left it at that, and we told Tony, come on in, sit down here, have a lemonade. I said, honey, we'll have grub for you in a little while, which meant we're going to have some food for you. We'll go down to the cafeteria and pick you up a hamburger or two if that's what you want. He gave us a thumbs up. So I guess that was okay. Thumbs up meant good. So, all right, as far as we're concerned. But he went over there, sat back on his bed again, and laid back. He was sweating. I don't know why he was perspiring so much, but he was really perspiring. I mean, it was actually wet, dripping continuously, right off the forehead, from the armpits, arms, sides of his body, his cheeks, his neck. He was sweating. I mean, outright, he was soaking up the mattress was soaking everything up. He was just sweating like you would not believe. Water coming out everywhere, just coming out everywhere, out of his ears, out of his nose, out of his eyes, out of his skin, out of his cheeks, out of his eyebrows. Everything was just pouring out all over the bed, and the bed was sucking it up like a big sponge. Holy smokes, we thought. How much water do you have in you? I mean, he filled up the whole mattress, and the mattress actually started dripping. But we don't want to get into that because it's just a little bit too much right now. So by the time we got all the little pots and little bowls and little things like that, we could gather up cups and things underneath the mattress to collect all that water, he was starting to dry out. He was starting to look normal. He had a little smile on his face, and he said, you know what? He raised his hand up, said, you know what? I've had about enough of this. I'm going to rest. He said, I know I'm already laying down, but I'm gonna take a rest right now. And I don't want to be bothered. Do you understand me? And we all knew he was serious. We all knew he meant business. So we stood back one step, and he looked over to Bob, and Bob didn't step back, and he looked at him again, real tough looking. Of course, Bob did take a step back. And then his eyes started to close a little bit. His smile came back on his face. He took a deep breath, started to relax. Just let his fingers go loose. Let his legs relax, let his shoulders go. We all watched him fall asleep. It's quite interesting, actually. But he let his whole body go loose, a little quiver here and there, but other than that, he was fully relaxed. He quivered here, quivered there, whatever. It was over in no time. He was snoring, actually snoring. Tony was snoring, sleeping right now. Nice long breaths, resting and sleeping. He was actually asleep. We were amazed. We were so happy for him, completely relaxed. And he just fell asleep, snoring. Sleeping, fully relaxed, fully relaxed.